You're listening to the Husker Cuzcast Sports Show. Now, here's Justin Fielder, Derek Stafford, and Tyler Schaefer.
Hello, and welcome to the Husker Cuzcast Sports Show. Justin here, along with the cousins, Derek and Tyler. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Husker Cuzcast for all podcast updates and more. Well, it is a Tuesday night here, Sunday night. We were doing our Scott Frost firing special episode. We're going to talk about Oklahoma tonight. We're also going to touch on Mickey Joseph and his presser today. But guys, now that the dust has settled here, since we've last talked, how have your feelings changed about the Scott Frost firing that we discussed on Sunday night? Tyler.
It went to me first. Well, I guess I've had two realizations or more confirmations since then. And I guess I'll react one at a time to them. But the first one is, and again, I'm sure I'm going to be the only one on this podcast that feels this way, but the decision to fire him when they did and pay that extra $7.5 million is as perplexing of a decision as I can recall. Guys, do you guys realize that that is about the equivalent of us terminating Eichhorst and Riley? An additional buyout? Like, we paid an extra $7.5 million to get rid of a guy 2 weeks early. It is very, very, very perplexing to me. And again, I've heard all the speculation. I've heard people say that Trev Alberts just wanted to be a good guy and give Frost his full buyout. I don't buy that. I've heard that he was scared Frost would win against Oklahoma and he'd lose his chance to fire him. I don't buy that. I believe Trev Alberts did it because he believes that this is in the best interest of the team. And I don't believe this is a solo Trev Alberts decision, but I think there was a lot of support widely on this between Regents and boosters, and that's how it happened. But I do sit there saying, man, if this team doesn't take a step forward and we look really bad on Saturday, that is going to be a punchline on national media, is we paid $7.5 million to get worse. So I hope that doesn't happen, but the decision is very perplexing to me.
Derek, what do you feel about that?
I don't know. It's not my money. I ain't concerned about it. My feelings haven't changed at all. It is what it is. It's time to move on. Look, you can't go 16-31 at any Power 5 school and keep your job. It's just not how it works.
Yeah, I'm with you, Derek. I don't care where the money came from. That $7.5 million with a new TV contract on the way, it doesn't matter. Derek, you're right. It's not our money. Those things don't worry me at all. Trev Alberts, he knows fiscal spending. I mean, in times of crunch, he can make some tough decisions. If he says that Nebraska has all the resources to go out and get the next head coach, I believe him that we have all the resources to get the next head coach.
And time will tell.
Maybe he'll cut the volleyball team to make extra money.
Maybe
he will. Time will tell. Again, the nice thing about this, we don't have to wait long to see how it all plays out. We, in theory, will see this play out and see what we pay for our next coaching staff.
What is your second feeling there, Tyler? You had two.
My second thing is, I am more confident or more excited about the possibility that Mickey Joseph could not just be a step up from Scott Frost, but actually could somehow find himself the next head coach. I love what he has to say. I love the way he talks to the media. I think he has a chip on his shoulder. I think he kind of feels like he's been under the radar guy. His younger brother has been a head coach in the NFL. I kind of feel like he has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. He's disciplined. And he's not a radical change in a lot of the philosophies that Frost ran. I think that he, I don't know. I am very excited about the Mickey Joseph era.
Absolutely. I mean, I thought in his presser today, I thought he knocked it out of the park. I mean, what a great dude. I mean, so excited. I had said earlier to you guys, maybe it was on the podcast, off the podcast, I don't remember, but when Mickey Joseph was introduced as the assistant coach, I was just blown away by him back then. I was like, I could see him as the head coach, and you guys gave me shit about that. But Tyler, I'm glad that you're coming around to Mickey Joseph as head coach. I'm
Derek, you kind of made a face there.
Yeah, Derek, what's up with that face?
Because I felt his press conference was the same as Frost. Like, he didn't say anything different.
Well, he did.
It was all coach speak. Everything's day to day. And even his comment that I know you guys just loved about, what was it? We're going to go faster. We're going to tackle in practice. These are the same exact things Frost said.
Well, that's true. And again, to be fair, on some of my Mickey Joseph love is not just the Mickey Joseph. It's as I'm hearing the rumor mill fly, I'm like, well, why not Mickey? If he can win games, right?
If he can win games, I'm all for it.
That's obviously the prerequisite. Like, and I'm not talking winning a couple games. He's got to win more than he loses. But yeah, I mean, I didn't. Yeah, I guess that's where my head is.
So let's talk.
I don't know if 5-4 gets him this job.
Well, okay, I want to talk about that a little bit later. But let's talk about the presser, like things that we found out of this presser that we were looking forward to. Okay, so the answer's been the question's been answered there about who is going to step in for wide receivers, and that's offensive analyst Mike Cassano. He's been a longtime analyst at Nebraska. He's been with Frost for 7 years, I believe. He's going to step into that role just like he did last year at the end of last year.
He was also with Mark Whipple when he was with at UMass.
Interesting. Eric Shenander, he is going to start coaching the safeties, and Travis Fisher will focus on the cornerbacks and nickel, and I thought that was interesting. I also found it interesting, and I did not get to do this, but Mickey Joseph had made a statement there that every program has two coaches in the defensive backfield, one for cornerbacks and safeties. And he says they do it in the NFL everywhere. He goes, only in Nebraska they don't do it like that here. I found that interesting. I wanted to go through all the Big Ten, all the coaching staffs. Tyler, did you get a chance to check that information out?
No, I didn't get a check fact check.
Yeah, it's like, there you go. Fact check Mickey Joseph to see what he's saying. But, I mean, it's what he said makes sense. And I don't know if that was something that he really wanted all along, or if that's from his conversations with his brother to do. But I mean, I absolutely love it. There's an issue in the defensive backfield right now. Get more coaches out there one-on-one and, you know, narrow it down, just fix shit. So I thought that was interesting. Derek, we'll get to your piece here about his desire to be head coach. He was asked the question if he wants, you know, to be considered for the head coach. And yeah, you know, this is his time to shine. So, Derek, how many games do you think it would take for him to win to be considered for a head coach next year?
Well, before I get into that, I want to add into that. And if any of the media is listening to us, I just want to say, can we stop asking stupid questions? Like, they did it with Frost, too. Or they do it with Mike Riley. Like, quit asking stupid questions. Like, are you interested in this head coaching job? No. I took the interim head coaching job just to fiddle my dick. What do you think? What do you think the answer is going to be? Yes, I'm interested in this job. It's his alma mater. Of course he would like to be the head coach.
Yeah.
Stupid questions. Anyway, I think he probably has to win about 6 games. To even be considered.
So go 6-3 in his final 9 or 6 win with a bowl?
6-3. I that decision is going to be made way before we play a bowl game.
Yeah, I agree. Tyler, where do you stand?
And I think that only gets him in consideration. I don't even know if that gets him the job.
Tyler?
I think 5-4 opens the door. I think 6-3... You really have to have a home run hire, and I think obviously 7-2 is like a lock. I think there'd be riots if we had 7-2 down the stretch and they fired him. I think that's kind of my head's at right now.
I'm with you. 5-4 opens that conversation, gets the fan base energized because for one you're going to go to a bowl game, and considering where. Start after a 1-2 start, you know, We counted on two of those being easy wins. So if you get to six, God, you got to think about maybe him as a possible candidate after that start. And 6-3, I think it's like a damn near no-brainer. I think the fan base would be completely upset if they let Vicky Joseph go and they still finish the year at 7-5. Somehow the team rebounds. 6-3, I think, definitely gets them the job. But 5-4, good possibility.
One of the things I found interesting in the press conference is he made a comment about, obviously, the faster, I think you pointed out, but he also made a comment about making it simple. He used the word simple. And I was talking to my brother-in-law last night, and we were talking about that. I honestly think that's a really good key with all these young guys that are playing. I almost wonder in how bad we're in position. You know, we bounce from a 3-4 to a 4-3. We keep moving around. The alignments keep changing. I do wonder, like, man, let's just decide, are we a 4-3 or 3-4? And whatever that is, let's go run that defense the whole game. And let's just line up and do that and actually have some sort of gap control. Let's simplify the playbook on defense, the scheme a little bit. And his comment about it being simple and faster kind of made me feel like, maybe they're looking at, let's do a little bit of less in some of these alignments.
Are you suggesting that Shenander's too creative in his defensive schemes?
Well, creative is not the word that I would use. I would call it erratic. Would probably be a better word. I think it worked last year. I think it worked last year because you had a lot of guys that had played a lot of football and they knew their gaps inside and out. It doesn't really work when you have a true freshman playing 83 snaps at inside backer. It doesn't really work, kind of talking about the safeties, you have a converted cornerback playing 89 snaps on defense. Like, it just takes 6 or 7 plays for these guys to get lined up wrong, and I think by simplifying it, you reduce that risk. And obviously, it's probably much more than 6 or 7 plays. But
let's just break down your comment just a second there, and just break down the fact there were 89 plays against Georgia Southern.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's the whole reason we're struggling. I'll be clear about that. I don't know.
Like, seriously, we let them run 89 offensive plays.
I think it was 90 to be, maybe. I thought it actually hit 90, but I think Buford sat out one play.
That defense is just horrendous.
Yeah, again, I'm not excusing that. I'm not saying that this is the magic bullet that fixes the defense, but I'm honestly grasping at straws. I'm grasping at straws what could be going on.
And here's where I disagree with you is because it's not just the young guys being out of position. I mean, O'Shawn Mathis, this awesome pass rusher, is getting no pressure.
Sure.
Garrett Nelson is not getting a lot of pressure. And he's been playing for 3 years now.
Sure. That's a component of the defensive struggles.
And Luke Reimer was blitzing on probably 15 or 20 plays and still wasn't getting pressure. These are all veteran players that should know how to play by now.
I will grant you Reimers and Nelson. I think Mathis is a little bit different because it is his first year here. First year in scheme. Again, I'm not saying, Derek, you're right. The pass rush is a much bigger concern.
But you don't lose technique in scheme.
The pass rush is a huger issue than the, that wasn't the word I wanted, but
huger.
I don't think that's a
word. Larger, huge. Larger concern. Huger. Let's go with it. I feel like, again, I'm grasping for straws here. Why this defense is struggling? I did find it interesting that he. Maybe it was the questions he was asked, but it did seem like he made a pointed effort to address the defense this week, right off the bat.
And especially tackling.
He had to. Now, you knew that was going to be his first questions asked. Yeah. So, of course, he was going to have an answer for that.
So, you don't believe
that's
him?
That's been our biggest problem.
Do you not believe him when he says that he's gonna do more tackling in practice?
I think it was a lot of coach speak.
Interesting. Do you?
Scott Frost said we were going to tackle more in practice too. It's not showing up on film. We'll see what happens this week. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, it makes me wonder how much.
It all seems like coach. It all sounds like coach.
That's why it makes me wonder how much live tackling that they were doing previously. You know, before they realized it was a super problem. You know, like what were they doing in fall camp? You know,
what were they doing last year? Because tackling wasn't that big of an issue last year.
Well, I mean, you guys talked about
it also. Tackling last year, and then this year they decided, oh, we're not going to tackle anymore.
You had a lot of six-year guys there. I mean, you had dudes that played a lot of football. I don't think we have that benefit right now.
Yeah, but according to Mickey Joseph, that don't matter. Like, you have to keep doing it because it's muscle memory more than anything.
Well, exactly. So maybe they're not doing it to as much as what Mickey Joseph has seen in all the programs that he's been part of. Whatever they're doing in practice, and you know, maybe that does get added into why Frost is now gone, and you know, they have a new voice, and why the decision was made after three games instead of wasting another 2 weeks. I mean, look, guys, we have an opportunity to salvage this season, a good chance, and given Mickey Joseph this extra 2 weeks to get it right, I'm all for it. I don't care what it costs. If it costs $7.5 million, $15 million, I don't care.
And Justin, let me just go back to that because that's where we started with this. And I agree with you. The extra $7.5 million is worth it. Every penny of it, if it works. Like, I agree with you. If it doesn't work, is where the ridicule comes into play.
And you can't judge it off of just one game. Whatever the result of the Oklahoma game.
I will say that if you get blown out, that is the most immediate reaction you're going to have. Now, maybe 3-4 weeks later, it all turns, but you're going to have 2 weeks to sit on this Oklahoma game. And
I mean, who's going to be saying that?
I'll say
like,
this.
Let's say Oklahoma wins 42-21.
Joe Klatt made a comment, right? He gave his reaction to Scott Frost. One of the first things he pointed out was it was shocking that they paid that much extra to get rid of him when they did. That this is already a story. You can read every article about the firing, every national thing that's come out. SportsCenter mentioned, well, man, if they would wait 2 more weeks, it would have been this much cheaper. Like, this is a very much part of the narrative of Frost getting fired, was the decision that it was so bad that they had to get rid of him now and pay extra money. Like, that is part of this story. I'm just saying, if it gets worse, like, that is going to be part of the story.
Yeah, I mean, are you going to read much into that? I mean,
would I rather us lose by one touchdown or five touchdowns? I'd rather us play a competitive game that I could watch.
Yeah. And you, okay. So you think we would have been there with Frost at the helm instead of Mickey Joseph?
I'm not saying it won't be there with Mickey Joseph. I'm saying I would have 2 years of experience that says we probably would have lost by one touchdown to Oklahoma on Saturday.
Okay. Do you guys make anything of the changes to the practice schedule? We've been practicing one way for a while, and then all of a sudden, Mondays. Is there anything to read in that? Why Mickey Joseph would do that, Derek?
I have no clue. I get whatever. I mean, so instead of having Sundays off, you're going to watch film. You're going to watch film on Sunday instead of Monday.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically all you're changing around. You weren't going to do heavy practice on Sunday or Monday, either which way.
Tyler, did that interest you at all?
No, I'm kind of with Derek. It's not really much thing. The thing that I could think about is, you know, you don't have anything on Sunday. What are those kids getting into Saturday night? And maybe having a practice on Sunday limits a little bit of off-the-field distractions, maybe keeps it a little bit more engaged. Maybe limits the coaches going out too on Saturday night. I mean, maybe it tightens that up a little bit. I'm not saying I don't know if the players went and got drunk on Saturday. I'm not saying that. I obviously have no idea, but I just I don't know. That's
well, it's not like they couldn't watch film hungover. I mean,
if you have a 9 a.m. wake up call to go to the university to watch practice, it's more of a. These are college kids. They're not used to doing stuff hungover. They don't have the years of experience that we do.
I don't know. When I was in the Army at the same age as those guys were, it didn't bother me to drink till 2 in the morning and be up by 6.
Yeah. Knock out some PT, go run 3 miles.
Guess what? You feel better.
Yeah.
Right there instantly. It's over. Hangover. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you anybody right now. If you want to get rid of a hangover, drink a lot of water and run 3 miles. You'll be all right.
Yeah. The worst part about that is being behind the guy in front of you that's got the beer farts running in formation, and that guy is just gassing you out.
And the other worst part is being the guy that has the gas farts and trying to run while you're laughing.
Yeah. I was usually that guy because I would, everybody, nobody wanted to be behind me. Shit, I don't even know where we're going anymore.
Oklahoma.
Anything else on the Mickey Joseph presser? All right, let's talk about Oklahoma. Oklahoma's coming to town. They're 11.5 point favorites. They're 2-0 right now with wins over Kent State and UTEP. They beat Kent State 33-3 and beat UTEP in their opener 45-13. I just want to talk to General right now. Derek, how do you feel about this series against Oklahoma? I mean, me and you, we're in our 40s. Tyler, are you even 40 yet?
Youngin'.
Golly, you are young. So, but you still have memories of the Oklahoma. So, Derek, what are your feelings of this Oklahoma-Nebraska series that we've lived through our entire lives?
I mean, it's always been a fun rivalry. I mean, I don't know. I thought it was going to be more fun to relive this rivalry. It's turned into not as fun now because I'm a little scared for this Saturday, but.
Are you? Okay.
It's been a fun rivalry. But of course, we grew up in the 90s when we were kind of kicking their ass. And I don't remember much of the 80s as much when they were kicking our ass.
Yeah.
So it was fun for me because I watched us kick the shit out of them.
Yeah. Tyler, what about you? What are your memories?
Well, probably similar to you. The Oklahoma rivalry, like, it's interesting because you know, I consider myself a historian, and you know, in the 70s, you know, Osborne couldn't beat Oklahoma, and in 78 he finally beats him, and then he matches up with him against the Orange Bowl and loses, and it just kind of had this huge thing, and it was this hated rivalry. But by the time the 90s came around, it was almost a rivalry built on respect. There was still certainly an aspect of we wanted to beat them, but you know, it to me, most of my childhood, it was always Colorado and then Texas. Those were the teams I truly hated. Oklahoma was like, man, that's a big game, but it's a little bit more out of respect.
I remember hating Colorado more because of Grandma.
Grandma hated Colorado. But that's my memory. To Derek's point, I was really looking forward to this home in a way. I still am. I'll wake up on Saturday and I will buy into the 71 reunions, and I'll love the flashbacks of where we used to be. And in spite of our athletic director saying we can't live in the past anymore, I'll take this game as an opportunity to relive some of the glory days of Nebraska football. And it'll be good to reminisce about it for a while. And, that's kind of where my head is at.
Nice. All right, let's talk about Oklahoma here. Derek, what are your thoughts on this Oklahoma team coming to town?
Man, they look pretty good. Brett Venables seems to have that defense going in the right direction. Shock, surprise, they are ranked higher than us in every defensive category. And I know that's hard to believe, but they rank a lot higher than we do in most categories. Offensively, they're just as good. Dylan Gabriel, maybe even a better quarterback than Casey Thompson. He's thrown 5 touchdowns to 0 interceptions so far this year, throwing 70% of his passes. He looks good. This is probably the toughest defense we'll have faced and probably the probably the best offense we will have faced. Yeah. So,
Marvin Mims at wide receiver, and you know our struggles against the pass. That guy,
10 receptions, 244 yards so far.
Yeah, I can't remember what he did to us against us last year. I don't have those numbers in front of me.
I don't either. They also have a good 1-2 punch at running back. Eric Gray's had 26 attempts for 173 yards. And then when they get into the red zone, they like to go to this Marcus Major. He's had 12 attempts and 3 touchdowns. They got a good 1-2 punch there. And I hate to tell people this, but they got a really good defensive lineman in Reggie Grimes, too. He leads the team in five tackles for loss, 4 sacks. Dude, this guy is going to make our offensive line look bad.
Oh, I don't want to hear that. Tyler, what are some of your nuggets out of Oklahoma?
Well, Stat Boy over there just killed about a page of notes for me. So there's that. But look, let me give some things for Nebraska fans to be maybe hopeful on. So that Kent State game, you read the score, and it was like, man, that was a butt-kicking. They did not score till 18 seconds in the first half. They were down till 18 seconds left in the first half. They obviously blew the doors out in the second half, but they came out a little bit slow against Kent State. I also took a little bit of time over the last couple of days to hop on some Oklahoma chat rooms.
Oh, really?
And I spent a little bit of time, and they are concerned about their offensive line. Now, I did find this joke pretty funny. Someone asked, how concerned is the offensive line going forward? And someone put the comment, for the rest of the season, a 2 out of 10 confidence against Nebraska, 8 out of 10.
Ouch.
So that was a little bit concerning, you know, in the regards of how they face it. But, yeah, I mean, this team also has some injuries. Keith Lawrence, who was, according to the Pick 6 previews, was a first-team all-defensive back Big 12, was injured last Saturday. He did not play. His status is unknown for Saturday. So an injury at one of their key corners, obviously we know what Casey Thompson, the passing tack, has done, has the opportunity to maybe take advantage. I don't know if I agree that this offense – I don't know if this offense is what it was under Lincoln, right? I think they – a little bit of fool's gold with their opponents. I do agree that I think their defense is better.
You want me to add on to this defense a little bit?
Yeah, go ahead on the defense. But I do think the defense is better than it has been. But I'm not sold that this offense is leaps and bounds – is in the same tier as it was under Lincoln Riley.
All right. Well, they have 5 other guys besides the guy I named that have a sack.
Oh, really?
And they're all either defensive linemen or linebackers. So they're not doing a lot of corner blitzes and safety blitzes to try and dial up pressure. They're just getting it with their guys. They've also had 11 quarterback hurries, 2 forced fumbles, 2 interceptions, and 9 pass breakups so far in 2 games. That's pretty impressive. They're also...
How many sacks do we have?
Not very many.
2.
They're also 8th in the country in turnover margin at +2 per game. So that's not good for Nebraska, considering we finally just had a game where we were plus margin. They lead the NCAA in tackles for loss with 11.5 per game. 11.5 tackles for loss per game. That's a lot of tackles for loss. And our offensive line hasn't been showing up lately. And they're 2nd in sacks with 4.5 sacks per game. So if we have 2, they have 9 in 2 games to our 3. Man, I tell you what, this is not boasting well for Nebraska statistically, at least.
Well, I'm going to throw out a stat here that might encourage you a little bit. And that's that third down conversion. They're 95th on offense. They've only converted 6 out of 20 third downs. Of course, they're averaging 7.1 yards per play, which is good enough for 11th in NCAA right now. But the third down conversion, that's interesting, except for the fact that Nebraska ranks 112. if we can make the defensive adjustments that we think we can get or we want to get, maybe we get a burst, if we, just a couple of stops, that could really change this game because they have not been converting well on third down. And if we can make some more stops, I mean, that's going to be something to really watch this week, is the third downs.
Yeah, I that was one of the stats I had written down, too. Yeah, that is a key stat. And I get, we gave up 642 yards against Georgia Southern. Yeah. It is impossible for me to believe that we could play worse than we did on Saturday.
What are the chances that Nebraska was looking ahead to Oklahoma?
Zero.
Zero? Yeah. Do you honestly believe that?
Yes.
Would you find comfort if you found out that they were looking ahead to Oklahoma?
Not particularly, no. I believe at one point Georgia Southern was 7-for-7 on third down conversions. And it wasn't all third and shorts.
I know.
I would buy the looking ahead to Oklahoma if it led to a slow start and we end up taking over the game.
I could buy it if we had beat Northwestern.
Yeah.
But due to the fact that we already had a loss on our schedule, they damn sure weren't looking ahead to anybody.
They shouldn't have been. Again, I think if you're in Nebraska, what you're hoping, the question is how much does the Mickey factor play into this? For better, for worse, however you want to do it. But if you're trying to be optimistic right now, you're saying, man, Scott Frost, he's the reason. He's the reason we sucked. And because it doesn't make sense. The talent doesn't equate to what we've seen on the field this year.
Yeah.
And so you just hope that you got the noose around your neck. It's gone. The players will be able to play free. The Frost thing is done. They don't have to play scared. They don't have to play this. There's been mixed reports on the players' reaction since Frost has left. You hopefully believe that it's overall been a very positive change. Hopefully that's what it is.
What do you mean mixed?
I mean, obviously, there was a couple of reports out there that the players were really ecstatic about Mickey Joseph. Mickey Joseph alluded to in his press conference today. We didn't talk about it, that the players were hurting. They lost a guy who recruited them. He lost a guy who, Mickey Joseph mentioned he's like a brother to me. His comments could have been coach speak. They could have just been saying the right thing. But it could have also be that, hey, maybe the players were pretty sad. I mean, you saw a couple players take to Twitter and mention Frost.
Not a lot, though. You didn't see a lot.
You didn't hear a lot of players say a lot on Twitter this week. And again,
but you don't see a lot of, I mean, I don't see a lot. Or maybe I don't follow the right people, but because I don't tend to follow a lot of players. But you don't see them say a lot throughout the week and during football season, period.
No,
like I don't see him on Twitter all the time. Not like an average Joe.
I'll put it this way. I have no earthly idea how the locker room's saying it. I would say that, I guess when I was talking about mixed reports, I don't know how it's looking. You hope it's overall a positive. You hope the distraction's out of the way and the team can focus. A lot of these coaches are coaching for their jobs, their future. And you hope they come out with their best version of themselves and that's what you see on Saturday.
Yeah. Derek, where do you think we match up best against Oklahoma?
Punting.
Really?
Yeah, we have a better punter.
Well, their punter has averaged
40.9. 41.
Yeah.
41.11.
I had a 40.9.
And ours is averaging 45.75.
Tyler?
We're better at punting.
Yeah, they've averaged 19.3.
We're officially a Big Ten team. We're better at punting than everybody.
Yeah, but they've averaged almost 20 yards on punt returns. What have we averaged on punt returns?
Hey, but we also beat them in kickoff returns.
Yeah, I mean, where Nebraska matches up, it's not even an advantage. Where I think we could get them is if Key Lawrence isn't playing, I do think Casey Thompson and this passing attack could go into this. I don't know what this offense will look like. Maybe it's not a good thing, but it could also go full Whipple. You have the passing game coordinator taking over in Mickey Joseph.
Without the Scott Frost influence of running the ball?
You don't have any of the... I mean, I don't know. I love what our offense has done this week. I don't want to see a drastic change, but again, you could make an argument that we could just come out and just light them up in the air. That is something that I think we could take advantage with injury is in the secondary for Oklahoma. Maybe we have a little bit of wrinkle there that we haven't seen. I don't know. Maybe we might go full Whipple on Saturday.
So do you think we're going to run less this week compared to last week? You think so, Derek? You're nodding your head?
Yep, absolutely. Because I think we are going to go full Whipple, and I think it's going to turn into a pass-happy team.
So when you say that, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Considering Casey Thompson's got 3 touchdowns to 3 interceptions, I'm not going to lean towards good.
Can we pass against Oklahoma?
I mean, yeah. We've passed against everybody, but you still have to have a running game.
Yeah. Tyler, how are you feeling about the Nebraska offense versus Oklahoma defense at this point? On paper.
I think we can get them. I think we're going to put up some yards. I think I think their defense is the best Oklahoma defense they've had in years, but I still don't think it's a great defense. I think we'll get some yards on them. I think we'll do well. The thought is entered my head. Obviously, I brought it up about us going full Whipple and passing all over the place, but I think they've seen what they got in Anthony Grant. I think that if Frost did anything good, and again, who knows what happened, but there are obviously a lot of speculations in that halftime in North Dakota, he really implemented a run game. I think they've seen what they got with him. I think Mickey Joseph and Mark Whipple are smart enough to know what they got with him and AJ Allen. I can't see them. I hope they keep this on. I like what I've seen from offense. I hope they continue to see it. I hope they keep whatever good influence Frost had on it and whatever, or maybe he had nothing. Maybe it was all Whipple and he decided that on himself and Mickey Joseph, but I hope we keep doing what we're doing on offense, because if we do, I think we can score some points and move the ball in Oklahoma on Saturday.
I agree.
The problem is Oklahoma is 34th in the country in run defense. They've only allowed 96 yards a game.
Well, if you want to dissect that a little bit further, Derek, I mean, yards per rush for Oklahoma defense, they're 16th in the country at 2.3. Now, you got to take into account, the level of competition there between Kent State and UTEP. But 2.3 yards per carry, I mean, wow, that's a run-stuffing defense right there.
Well, not only that, but you look at the problems that we've had with this offensive line to this point. And even if we don't run the ball a ton, they're going to be in the backfield all day long on pass rush.
We don't know the status of Teddy Prochazka. We have no idea. And I don't even know if this...
And that's even worse. If he's not in, that's going to be even worse.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know at this point if that's a net negative or positive.
Who came in for him at the end of the game last week?
Kevin Williams.
Yeah. That's going to be something to keep an eye on also.
And our offensive line held well down the stretch on that 2-minute drive.
Yeah. I mean, they've had their moments in the good way, and they've had their moments in a bad way too.
Talk about
inconsistent.
I guess through 3 games, if you are evaluating your expectation of this offensive line before the season to what you've seen on the field, is it... we love the better, same, worse game. Has it been better exactly what you thought, or has it been worse than you thought?
It's about what I thought it would be. I mean,
it's worse than I thought it would be. I thought it would be at least as good as last year. I think it's worse than last year by a pretty large margin at this point.
See, I think it's about what I thought it would be. If I had to choose, if I had to take a side, I think it's actually, I mean, I have really low standards for the offensive line.
If you'd asked me after the Northwestern game, my answer would be different. But after watching North Dakota and
Georgia Southern,
it was atrocious against those two teams. And those are two small-ass schools that should have no business being in your backfield.
Well, Tyler, when we played the better, same, worse on offensive line before the season, both of us had worse. I think all three of us had worse. All three of us had worse.
Yeah,
but it's still much worse than I thought it would be.
Yeah. So it's even worse than what you thought it would be. Oh, wow.
I mean, it's about the same. And again, but hopefully the Mickey Joseph impact helps there too. Just hoping he is the magic wand.
So I just have to ask this question. I know what we're gonna say here, but I want to talk about the offense or the Oklahoma offense versus the Nebraska defense. How do you see that playing out there, Tyler? We'll start with you because you made the funniest face.
I just hope this pass rush. I hope that they were oversimplifying it and they can make it simpler. I hope it's as the tackling helps. I hope this defense comes out pissed off after Frost got fired and they play inspired or they play free or whatever it needs to be. I just, right now, in the history of me being wrong on this podcast, where there are 100 takes, there may not be one that I have been more wrong about than this pass rush. Like, it is the most wrong I have ever been.
Are you giving up on your 40 sack year?
We were all wrong on that, yeah, to be fair.
We were, but I was especially wrong. And my brain doesn't go to that point to believe that, yeah, it's so wrong. And I hold that hope that Nick Henrich will play on Saturday. And I have not been impressed with the linebacker play in his stead. And maybe with him coming back, that adds a little bit of something to this defense. But, Justin, you asked the question, how does Oklahoma stack up? Georgia Southern had 642 yards. We had two more turnovers than them, and we still lost.
Yeah.
I mean, they should have had another touchdown right before half or at least a field goal. Like, if they didn't blow it themselves, I mean, it was bad. And so I'm hoping that this defense finds that any sort of pulse. And I think they will. I think they will play better than they did last Saturday.
Derek, your thoughts?
I think the only hope is that every starter on the offense for Oklahoma falls off the bus and breaks something and can't play.
That's the only hope, huh?
It's the only hope. This defense is atrocious. This is probably the worst defense I've ever watched. This might be worse than a Bob Diaco defense right now.
Yeah, I mean,
642 yards. Tyler, you roll your eyes. We just gave up 45 points to a Sun Belt team.
You're not wrong, Derek. I mean, through three games, this is the worst defense Nebraska's ever had.
I mean,
you go look at that Northwestern game. Now, granted, Northwestern threw for 400 yards, I think, again on Saturday against Duke.
I will apologize that if I don't honestly believe that the distraction of getting your head coach fired is going to fix everything, all of a sudden I feel warm and fuzzy about this defense.
I feel like with Frost gone, we're beginning to go back to where this podcast started, of Derek being the negative one and Justin being the optimist again.
I feel like we have officially
gone full circle on this podcast.
Yeah.
Because this is the most negative, Derek, you have been about a game in years.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you're wrong. Nothing you've
said. It's not just Scott Frost. It's watching how we played last week. It's watching how we played the week before. And I'm just not into this whole we fired our head coach, things are going to get better all of a sudden. Well, I'm not saying it was wrong to fire Scott Frost. He was 16-31 and needed to be fired. But I don't think that automatically fixes everything the week after it happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. It's an 11 a.m. kickoff. So, Tyler, how do you see this game playing out? Like right now, the line is 11.5 for Oklahoma, and the over-under is now 67, which it's going up, guys. How do you see that line, or not the line, how do you see the game playing out?
I think it'll be a very high-scoring game. I think Casey Thompson obviously has a lot on the line. I don't say bad blood against Oklahoma. He had maybe his best game of the season or among them last year against Oklahoma's defense. I don't know how much you read into that, but they obviously blew that big lead. I think we see the best version of Casey Thompson on Saturday. I mean, the game was so bad we glossed over. He had no turnovers on Saturday. He was highly effective throwing the ball. I think we see a great version of him on Saturday. I think our defense will have trouble stopping them. But I do think that them not being quite so quick with the ball does play a little bit more into our defensive strength, where we can maybe get a little bit more rotation. I think Eric Schneider is a smart enough coach to figure out something better. I think we have a pulse on Saturday. I guess I don't see a great performance, but it's going to be a high-scoring game. That over at 67, I don't know. That's a good line.
Yeah. Derek, how do you see the game playing out?
Well, I think you should have taken the line when it was a 64.5 like I did.
Did you? Smart.
Yeah, I did. How do I see the game playing out? Well, I'll just put it this way. I'm going to make a tee time for 12:30 if anybody wants to join me.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Wow. I'm not that negative by no means. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think Nebraska can score some points. I look at the way that Oklahoma has struggled at points on offense against two lackluster teams. And I still want to think that our defense is a bit better than a Kent State defense. I still think that we are. And if Kent State can stop them, you know, shut them down for, you know, almost three quarters, if we can shut them down for just two quarters and let our offense do what we can do, I mean, I think we can match these guys headed into deep into the fourth quarter. All right, let's get into score predictions here because I'm really interested. Derek, I got to start with you. I'm sorry. I got to hear where you think this is going to be. If you're scheduling a tee time for 12:30 at it for an 11 a.m. kickoff, you must think this is going to be put to bed early.
56-14.
56-14 for Nebraska?
For Oklahoma.
Golly.
They're going to be on our backfield all day. You guys think we're going to move the ball against these guys, but our offensive line ain't going to stop shit. Their defensive line is going to be in the backfield all day long. So you're going to have to leave it, I don't know, our two running backs in the game to block. So you're going to take a wide receiver out or a tight end.
So this should be scary, though, for you, right? Because I don't think that Oklahoma is going to be the toughest defense that Nebraska plays this year.
No, it's not. And it's not going to get better for us.
Wow. Tyler, what is your score prediction for the game?
Well, I'm a lot more optimistic. I have hope that we'll see Travis Vokolek. There were reports of him warming up last weekend. I think he's a big factor on this offense. He can add some blocking. He can obviously add in the passing game. I mentioned earlier, I think this is going to be the best version of Casey Thompson we've seen to date. I think he'll be crisp. I do think the offensive line will get beat a couple times, but I think all in all, we move the ball. I just don't think we can stop them enough to win this game. I got Nebraska losing this game 38-33. And yeah.
If you give me an over-under of 6.5 sacks, I would probably take the over.
Wow. All right, Derek.
Go ahead, Justin. I have a take on Derek's score prediction, though.
No, I mean, I'm... You guys got that old optimistic Justin back here. I think this is going to be a team. I think the team is going to come out fired up to play for Mickey Joseph with the super emotional week, and it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a foot race. It's not going to be an arena football game like what we saw last week with all the yards and scoring, but it's going to be high scoring, and I think Nebraska pulls away late in the fourth quarter, winning 38-35. I see Mickey Joseph starting out his campaign with the damn win against OU on the big stage.
You're smoking more shit than Cheech and Chong.
I see it, man.
I see it.
There's talent on this team, guys. There's a lot of talent on this team. They just need it kickstarted.
This is hilarious. This is just the funniest podcast we have ever done. Like, I could never predict it. Justin,
you were close. You're in the same ballpark.
I get it, but I have been consistent. Like, but you have done 180. I just honestly feel like if Scott Frost was still here, you would have predicted Derek's score, and he might have predicted your score. Like, I feel it's changed that much.
Like, hey, Tyler, me and you see the same game, except I see Nebraska pulling away at the end.
No, that's fair. But, Derek, I will say, if your score prediction's right, then my whole thing that I brought up at the beginning of the podcast, like, and you're, I know you're not saying that we're playing worse because of Scott Frost, because I know you don't believe that, but, like, prepare, that joke will be, we will be, whatever laughing stock Nebraska is, if we paid $7.5 million to have our biggest loss in 3 years, like, on a big time game, that joke is going to be out there. I would be shocked if Joe Klatt is not referencing that in the podcast that we paid to get rid of Scott Frost 2 weeks early for that mess. So I really, really, really hope you have never been more wrong in your life, Derek.
I do too.
Joel Klatt kind of had a bromance for Scott Frost. I mean, remember at the Oklahoma game last year, he's like, I guarantee that they're going to win, you know, against all those teams.
We played really well against Oklahoma. We played really well every game last year. We just couldn't win. So, anyway, I hope, gosh.
I just don't think the distraction is going to help. I really don't. And it is a distraction. Whether you like it or not, it is a distraction. You lost your head, man.
Yeah.
It's a distraction.
All right, well, let's get into the games of the week. It was brutal last week, guys. Completely brutal. The games that we picked last night, I just have to recap these games here real quick. We picked the Alabama-Texas, Tennessee-Pitt, Kentucky-Florida, Baylor-BYU, Iowa State-Iowa. All great games, all fun games to watch, except for maybe the Iowa and Iowa State game, unless you just like watching car accidents or something.
Bullshit, I got my under, like I said.
Hey, we all bet the under and we got it, but talk about a brutal fucking game to watch. Oh, my God.
It was actually kind of fun to watch. I enjoy it. It's like a car. It was like, yeah, I don't say it was like a car wreck because that's really bad, but it was.
Iowa blocked two punts in that game and still lost the game.
Yeah.
Like, that's unheard of.
I mean, I will say
I couldn't have been more happy. I was more happy about that than anything. Nebraska could have won 56-0, and I still would have been more happy about Iowa losing that game.
I will say this. I will not bet the over-under this Saturday with Iowa. Because just like I can't believe Nebraska's defense is that bad that many games in a row, I just think against Nevada, maybe Iowa will get to 30.
Iowa's 23-point favorites, and I still love the under. I mean, Nevada's not going to score. I can't see Iowa. I can't see Petras. They already committed to Petras. They're going to start Petras. I can't see them scoring 35 points.
There was a guy on Twitter that put out there that Iowa's 23-point favorites. That's 10 safeties and a field goal.
That might be right. If you guys haven't got a chance, though, any of our listeners, go look up Bob Stoops. Brian Ferentz on any of your platforms, because someone tricked Bob Stoops to do a cameo to someone named Brian and said that he was going through a rough patch and he's only getting through it because of his dad. And it was pretty funny and that it directed to Ferentz.
That was good.
And then someone even better dubbed that over Kurt's mouth and Twitter won today.
It's so crazy because the words look like they match up exactly to Kirk Ferentz's mouth.
The first time I watched it, I thought that was Kirk Ferentz saying that.
I did too.
When it was
like at the very end, I realized it was just a joke. That's why I sent it to you guys when I did.
It's great.
Well, I'd seen it earlier. So immediately after that, I went to like ESPN, all the news. I was trying to look for the news. It's like, holy shit, did he just fire his son?
He should.
Yeah. I mean, if my dad was the head coach and I was the offensive coordinator, there's no doubt in my mind that my dad would fire me.
Because your dad's smart.
I thought you were going to say, because your dad's an asshole. All right, let's get into last week. I just named the games, but this is how brutal it was. Tyler, you went 2-4 last week. You're now 8-4 on the season. Derek, you had the best week out of all of us, 3-3. You're 8-4 on the season. And I went a bad, bad 1-5, which puts me at a Scott Frost record of 5-7 in his best year. So we got five more games.
Hey, I told you guys to take Iowa State.
Look, you were 3-3, okay? You're not exactly Nostradamus over there. Slow down the victory lap a
little bit, yeah.
All right, first game. Number 12, BYU at number 25, Oregon. Oregon is favored by 3.5. Tyler.
Yeah, I mean, BYU obviously had that big victory against Baylor, kind of shocked us all with the double overtime victory. I think that was a pretty emotional victory. Traveling on the road to Oregon, not an easy place to play. I think Oregon has rebounded since their 49-3 ass whooping to Georgia on a quote unquote neutral field. I got the Ducks.
Really? Okay. Derek.
All right. So BYU is winning with a really good offense. Like, their offense is looking really good, but their defense is looking pretty damn good too. Oregon's, I mean, they won with some offense, but their defense just isn't there for me. I think defense wins the day and BYU pulls out the victory here.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like BYU in this. Even though I had passed out long before the overtimes against that Baylor game. That was a brutal evening watching Georgia Southern. Beers were sliding down pretty damn good there. So I didn't make it to the end. I had to wake up the next morning, check the score. I was like, oh, crap, my Bears lost. But I like BYU here also. Over Oregon getting their asses kicked the way that they did against Georgia. But who wouldn't get their ass kicked by Georgia? I just expected more out of that Oregon team, and they did not put up a fight. Number 22, Penn State, 3-point favorites over Auburn, at Auburn. Tyler.
Heading into the season, I had Penn State winning this game. I mean, Auburn's another team that got lucky to escape last weekend without a devastating defeat. Nick Singleton, I mean, you want to talk about a freshman that just does it all. He is on cruise control. I think it's actually been a closer game than maybe I thought a couple weeks ago, because I think Auburn's defense is pretty good, but I got Penn State in this game.
Derek.
I think Penn State's more battle-tested, having already played Purdue. It was a tight game. It was a tough game for them. They came out on top of that one. Tyler, you talked about Auburn struggling against San Jose State last week. I don't see it being as close of a game as you do, I guess. I think Penn State wins is fairly big.
Yeah, I was not high on Penn State headed into the year. As a matter of fact, when we did our Big Ten predictions, I had Penn State losing this game at Auburn. But Penn State, they've actually surprised me and what they've been able to produce so far just through two games. So I have Penn State going on the road and winning as well. Next game, number 11, Michigan State at Washington. Washington is 3.5-point favorites. Tyler.
You know what? Penix is back. He's straight. He's ready to go.
Same Penix we remembered that we were rooting for Indiana, right?
Yeah. I mean he is playing. The Penix is hard right now. He's playing hard right now. And, you know, it's evident he had 6 touchdowns, 1 interception year to date. Last year, he had 4 touchdowns and 7 interceptions in 5 games. He's playing well. Michigan State's a weird team right now. They've been playing better than maybe I expected out the gates. But I like Washington at home. I think they can win this game with the way that Penix is playing. So I got Washington in this game.
All right, Derek.
All right, well, Kurt, if you're listening, Washington might be my new favorite team for the temporary season. I'll be rooting for them, so what the hell? I'll say Washington wins this game at home.
Dang. All right, I'm going to keep...
Nebraska's broken, Derek.
That Scott Frost firing broke him. He's beyond sad.
I don't see the season getting better. I really don't. I don't think firing Scott Frost was the answer to fix the season. I don't think it was going to get. I don't know. It would have been a lot better with him here, but so I don't think fire. I don't think firing him made it better.
We'll talk about this after the week. But what do you got on the?
No, I have to go back to this. If Scott Frost was coaching this game against Oklahoma, Derek, what would you have had the score? Because you picked 56-14 with Mickey Joseph coaching. If Scott Frost coached, what would that score prediction be?
Probably 42-35 Oklahoma.
Wow. Okay. Back to our regular scheduled programming here. Michigan State at Washington. I have Michigan State winning this game. I like Mel Tucker. I like this Michigan State team. I feel bad that I'm going against Tyler. You know, Tyler's been on a tear here. And I've been on the opposite side of you twice out of three games here. And I'm 5-7 on the year. But who knows? Maybe this is my chance to get it. But Michigan State on the road for me. Number 13, Miami at number 24, Texas A&M. Texas A&M is 5.5, who dropped a turd against Appalachian State last week. Yeah, Tyler.
I mean, you talk about two teams I really would love to see both lose. A&M and Miami are definitely up there. I think A&M's better than they looked against App State. I want to say that helped refocus them. I think they got a little bit full of themselves early. If you saw the clip going around Twitter of the pep rally when they were talking all the shit on App State, I think they completely overlooked them. I think Jimbo gets them refocused. I'm not completely convinced Miami is that tier yet. I think A&M wins at home.
Oh, wow. Derek.
All right, I'm going to disagree with you again. Not only did A&M lose to App State, but also remember for the first half of Sam Houston State, they struggled. That whole first half, they struggled. They went to a rain delay, came out, and they ended up beating them pretty decent. But they struggled for about a half. And I'm not convinced this Texas A&M team's as good as anybody thinks they are. And I do think Miami's playing better. I think they're playing good ball. I'm not a big Mario Cristobal fan, but I think he hired a lot of good assistants that I think's helped turn his team around. And I think Miami comes out with a win.
Yeah. I agree with Derek here. And I will never root for a team with male cheerleaders. I mean, that's just such a weird thing. I mean, it's 2022. I mean, it's time to get with the times. Get those women out of College Station. Get those ladies out of the kitchen. Put them on the field in those little skirts. Wait, is that bad?
Isn't that with the time, though?
Yeah, it's like Justin.
Like, well, maybe they need transgender cheerleaders.
And on that note, let's get to the last game of the week.
Did I make my pick? I don't even know. I was too busy trying to make a stupid joke. I got Miami. Purdue at Syracuse. We're bringing it back to the Big Ten here. The teams are unranked, but it's an even line and a pretty interesting game. Tyler.
Highly interesting. I mean, the Miami A&M game was a really tough game to predict. But I honestly don't care about that game. This is the game I care about that I really had a hard time predicting. You know, obviously the lasting image of Purdue was week one when they lost to Penn State. Lost in that game is that Purdue actually played pretty good. They've moved the ball well. They just had a hard time stopping Sean Clifford when it mattered most. I don't think that Syracuse has any sort of attack like Penn State does. I know it's on the road, tough game, but I'm going to give the Boilermakers the victory here.
Derek.
You know, I picked so many road teams, I couldn't decide on this one, so I just went with the home team. You know, it's an even split, the spread's even. So I didn't know who to go with. It should be a good game, but I just went with the home team here.
Okay.
Plus, screw the Big Ten. I hope they all lose.
Wow. Derek, do you need a hug or something? You are extremely bitter this episode. This is so unlike you.
It's like Justin. It's like I went from one annoying negative cousin to the other annoying negative cousin. I'm like Jerry Seinfeld. Like, I'm even Stevens. My life doesn't change.
That pendulum just keeps changing like this, right? I mean, it's like up and down, up and down. Derek, I'm with you, though, because all the I've picked every road team in the games of the week so far. And I'm like, when I got done picking this, I was like, holy crap, I have all road games here. But when I looked at this team, I think Purdue really is a good team. And Syracuse is a good team also. What they did against Louisville, beating them the way that they did, nobody expected that. I'm bumping up Purdue just a little bit because now that I'm higher on Penn State, and I think that loss looks a little bit better for them. I think they can go on the road and get the deal done there at Syracuse. And I tell you what, that Iowa wide receiver that Purdue has now, that Charlie Jones, man, that dude's making some plays. I mean, I'm not going to say that he's a David Bell or anything, but he's putting up some stats. So I like that. So any final comments, Derek? Any other thing you want to get off your chest before we get off of here?
Nope. Don't care anymore.
Tyler, how about you?
I will say I would be surprised if Nebraska loses by more than two touchdowns on Saturday.
Well, just leave about after the first quarter and come down and join me for my tea time.
Ouch. I don't know. I've been looking at going to the game.
Hey, do that, because that'll make it better.
The one game I went to this year, we're 1-0 this year in the Tyler Schaefer attended game, so.
Yeah, way to go to that FCS game.
Pick my spots wisely.
Jeez. All right, well, let's get out of here. I love Oklahoma week. Special thanks to our producer, Connor Russell, for putting this audio together for us. Be sure to follow the Husker Cuzcast on Twitter, at Husker Cuzcast. Like us on Facebook. Look for episodes anywhere you get your podcasts. Hit that subscribe button, and don't forget to rate and review. On behalf of Derek and Tyler, we want to thank everybody for listening. And as always, go Big Red.